welcome to Assembly Audible. I'm your host, Jennifer Pierce, multimedia content specialist with Assembly Magazine. We're joined today by Brian Wright, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Orbit Form. Brian has been with Orbit Form for 22 years, 10 of which he served as VP of Sales and Marketing. He has 34 years in manufacturing with a wide range of experience in areas such as process engineering, project management, and sales. Brian, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, let's dive right into the questions. So to start with, who is Orbit Form?
Well, Orbit Form is an OEM of permanent assembly process methods. We manufacture 6 core processes, orbital riveting, radial riveting, impact riveting, roller forming, hot upset riveting, and also specialty press riveting and forming. We've been in business since 1984 and have provided over 10,000 plus manufacturing and assembly equipment solutions supporting 16 different industries. We're located in Jackson, Michigan, with 105 team members, and we're the only 100% made in the USA of orbital and radial riveting equipment.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, so with Orbit Form being an expert and leader in orbital and radial riveting, could you please share where this process and technology is heading?
Sure, absolutely. So orbital and radial riveting has been around for a good 30, 40 years, actually even longer than that, starting out with the manufacturing of Swiss watches many years ago. But as technology is changing, and it's changing rapidly, we're seeing with our riveting technology moving more towards the electric or servo-controlled power heads. And the big reason for this, and you say, well, why?
Right.
Ultimate precision control for the forming force is really key for positioning and speed of the head. Going electric and servo also gives you flexibility of programming of multiple parts. Many of our customers in manufacturing are running more than just one part across the machine or equipment for their model mix. It supports manufacturing in a clean room environment. For example, many medical manufacturers demand that. And so by not using air or hydraulics, electric servo gives you that clean room environment support. It also requires less maintenance. When you're dealing with air and hydraulics, it can be a little bit messy at times, as well as plan air can be very expensive, depending on other operations that you have in your facility. You also run the risk of starving a machine for air power if you're running pneumatics. Again, if you have high air consumption within your plant. And there's also been, over the last, I would say, 15 years, increased demand for validation of the forming process, for process monitoring, process control. And what this does is it gives immediate feedback of part acceptance of the process. So there's a lot of very positive reasons that make manufacturing more efficient, more effective by going down the electric servo control path.
I see. Okay, so why is the process intelligence for control or monitoring the forming process increasing?
Well, many of our manufacturing customers, there's a higher demand. It's ever increasing for 100% part quality. Their customers are demanding it on them. And so force and distance monitoring, those are the two parameters that provide that necessary process feedback. It depends on functional requirements of the joint of what you're putting together. But validating that process within the riveting station, there's some positives for that. There are advantages where it eliminates the need for a quality check station. So you're seeing more quality checks, 100% process check, 100% part check before our customers ship to their end customers. So by being able to do that within station, there is a CapEx savings where you don't have to have two separate machines. You also have a floor space savings. Floor space is definitely a premium and minimizes, from a part handling standpoint, the human interface by being able to just load the part into one machine And then at the end, giving you immediate feedback, the process complete is complete, and it's an accepted part. Then you can pass on to the next operation. So you get a little bit better part throughput efficiency. On the circle-driven head, there's a key element of success with what we would call our in-process pivot joint monitoring. That has been a big plus in terms of being able to come down and form a joint, for example, endoscopic surgical equipment or pliers, any type of hand tools, where there's a joint that the human hand, the end customer, has to be able to open and close. And so when you're dealing with torque monitoring or trying to achieve a certain torque, it's very challenging to be able to take any of the metrics within the process and get a direct correlation. And so we've been able to, Orbitform has established a process where we would come down and form, leveraging our servo technology, to be able to come down and form and then do an in-process monitoring check within the joint, within the machine cycle, and been able to be 100%. In other words, there's no quality check needed afterwards because you know that you've got a good part within a torque requirement.
Wow, that's really impressive. I would just assume that, you know, those joints, if you will, would have to be like perfect, essentially, right? And completely precise.
Very close. Of course, when you think of like the medical industry, those endoscopic surgical equipment, the diameter of the rivet that we're forming in that joint is very small. So the smaller components you're dealing with, you normally have a smaller in-process tolerance range, you know, what is good and what is bad, your high-low limits. And so it makes it much more challenging to be consistent from part to part, being able to form into a specified torque range. So we're really seeing a growth in the demand for data-driven processes, and servo electromechanical supports this. You're seeing with Industry 4.0, and then 5.0 is right around the corner with collaborative robots, and knowing that the process is in control and you're getting that feedback so that you know that you're making a good product. So that validation of part processing performance, having the historical data, having immediate feedback, there's a lot of benefits to manufacturers.
I see. Okay, so what factors need to be considered when selecting the best orbital or radial forming equipment for a specific application?
Well, we have, thank you for asking that, Jennifer. We've got five key areas that we look at, that we educate our manufacturers. The first is really to define and identify the functional requirements of the assembled joint. Mm-hmm. For example, does the joint have to withstand a push out or a pull out force, or is there a shear load force, or sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, is there a minimum or maximum torque load force that it has to achieve? We also look at the rivet material or the hardness, as well as the finished form geometry. Those are very key. Also, the rivet tenon OD to the ID mating relationship, how does that look in terms of product design? And a good rule of thumb for the product design when you're looking at that is the whole ID is normally 6 to 7% larger than the rivet tenon OD. Again, that's a rule of thumb. I mean, it depends on the application, but the majority of them, that's a good product design guide. Our fourth one is to identify the pre-assembly condition. In other words, is there a pre-form rivet stick-out height? What does that look like? And to support the process, a good rule of thumb for that on what the pre-form stick-out height is it's approximately 50% of the rivet tenon diameter. So if the rivet tenon diameter is 6 millimeters, we would be looking at a good rule of thumb range of around 3 millimeters of a height stick out from that top part surface to the end of the tenon. And then finally, we also look at the rivet hardness, the material and hardness, and of the parts being riveted together, and what does that look like?
Wow. So it sounds like there is a lot to consider in preparation before you execute.
There is, because we work with many, many different capacities. Forming capacity is very key. And all we're doing with the process, Jennifer, is taking material in one state and just applying force to allow the material to flow. So we're not changing the molecular structure or anything. And so we want to be able to move that material with as minimum amount of force as we can to achieve the desired finished state.
So, what are key troubleshooting tips to optimize the performance of the orbital or radial forming equipment for assembly applications?
Very good question. So troubleshooting, we have a few of those that are good, especially for our engineering and maintenance customers, their resources. Your XY alignment of your rivet tenon being formed to the head spindle. In other words, you want to make sure that the rivet or the post or the tenon that you are forming is in an XY position as close as you can, directly in line with the center line of the head. So that's very important.
I see. So I don't want to sound silly, but does that mean like you're talking about the connection, the rivet connection or something like that?
No, they actually the rivet position, so
The
that
position, okay.
yeah, the rivet position and how it sets in the fixture.
Okay. I see.
Okay. The finished rivet form is a visual. So many customers will look at just doing a spot check, a visual. And as the tooling wears over time, most of the time, depending on the material, you'll see like a galling or a smearing that would be present. And so that would give you an indication that the paint's starting to get worn. Either that or some material where you would get galling right out of the gate. For example, cast aluminum is one where the tool itself would require some type of lubricity at the tool contact point. So we would do like a thin dense chrome or a titanium carbonitride coating to increase that lubricity so that you don't get that type of galling. If there's force monitoring that's on the machine, so force and distance monitoring, normally with a load cell or an LVDT that's within the head, there you would see an increase in forming force as the peen tool wears. Just like think of any type of tool, as it gets dull, it takes more force to accomplish what the tool task is. So if you don't have that, of course you wouldn't know, but that's another indicator. Another good tool troubleshooting tip is you want to ensure that the part is very secure in the fixture. You want to what we would call prevent the peen, the tool itself, from chasing the rivet. That's normally a bad end result when you have that issue where the rivet's wobbling or not secure.
That's
So
an
on the
interesting. That's interesting.
on the orbital process specific, when you design the fixture and secure the part, the manufacturers, we need to plan for 10% side load forces to secure. So for example, if you come down and do testing and say, okay, it takes 1,000 pounds of force to form this rivet, then in the fixture, because of the angle of the tool, normally at a 6-degree angle, you have to plan for 100 pounds or 10% of what the downward force is to be some type of side load. So if you clamp the part or secure it to be able to withstand that plus a safety factor, that's a good thing. That's a good practice.
This is so fascinating. It's such a specific and yet integral part of almost everything that we tools that we use. And it's the kind of thing where it's like you don't think about it unless it doesn't work. And then it's like an enormous problem, right?
Yes, yeah, and it's very easy to get caught up in a domino effect. And so with these troubleshooting tips, it's very We try and get right to the root of the issue as fast as mm-hmm. possible, because it's very easy. We've seen some manufacturers chase the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it just something as simple as, is the advancement of the head going too fast? Is it too aggressive, or is it going too slow? Or is there an excessive dwell time? In other words, when we come down in form, once we achieve the finished form position, is the head or the tool remaining on the rivet tenon too long?
Mm-hmm.
Excessive dwell time there. Is the motor RPM, the speed at which that is rotating, is that too fast, or is it too slow for the application? And then the final thing that's really, really important is when manufacturers have been running parts, and then all of a sudden you see it now within the last year, how there's been many supply chain changes where manufacturers are looking to shorten their supply chain and get material or get product from other vendors. You have to ask if there's any cracking and so forth, or you see a change. Well, what changed, and look back at the material, because oftentimes we'll see material that is a mild steel, and all of a sudden they get a different batch from another vendor, mm-hmm. and it's a harder Rockwell. And so harder material requires more force to form, and it also increases risk for cracking or an incomplete finished form. And so there's a lot of fact. That's a good example of looking at symptoms mm-hmm. when the root of the issue really is the material itself, which you want to identify fast. So there's a fair share of troubleshooting tips there. But
so with troubleshooting, is that like something that you're trying to cover those bases before production, or are you addressing issues that other companies or manufacturers are having in a process?
What a great question, Jennifer. Yeah, we try and educate our customers early on in the process, prior mm-hmm. to. So every piece of equipment that Orbitform provides, we provide a detailed troubleshooting guide, maintenance plan, mm-hmm. spare parts and tooling package, so that what we would consider recommended tooling and parts over time that you want to make sure that to be prepared to replace. And with that education comes a good preventative maintenance program. And so going back to the electromechanical and servo, a lot of the data that we get, or you get from the process using that type of equipment, that data feedback actually helps preventative maintenance become more effective and more efficient over time. And so you can look at certain parameters, and it can provide feedback early, and it gives our customers or the head of maintenance within the facility indicators of, okay, hey, it's time to do a change out of the bearings. It's time to change out the seals this month, or time to change the tool, or within 5,000 more cycles, we're gonna see some issues. So let's see if we can do some maintenance on the machine and do some checks this weekend. You know, so a lot of the indicators has been be able to put customers in a proactive mode versus a reactive mode.
Wow, that is such an interesting use of data feedback, I think is what you said. That's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. So in closing, is there anything else you'd like to add or expand upon?
Well, the biggest thing, I just want to appreciate you having me today for the Assembly Podcast.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate the opportunity to share with our audience where orbital and radial ribbing technology is headed. For our listeners, if you're interested in getting more information on orbital and radial riveting, as well as other permanent assembly methods that Orbitform's experts in, please visit Orbitform's website at orbitform.com. You can follow us on LinkedIn, as well as subscribe to us on YouTube.
Fantastic. Brian, thank you so much for your time and expertise.
Thank you very much, Jennifer, and have a great day.
Okay, so Orbitform would also like to invite listeners to attend the 2022 Tech Expo on June 15th through the 16th. With over 15 collaborative partners, the expo is sure to be an interesting event. Find out more about the expo on the OrbitForm website under events, where you can easily RSVP to secure a spot at the expo. The Tech Expo will be a fantastic opportunity to visit the OrbitForm facility, meet the team, and experience what it means to partner with OrbitForm. For more insights on assembling discrete parts into finished products and the people behind it all, visit our website, assemblymag.com. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast to keep up with our latest episodes. We're also on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, so we invite you to follow us there too. This has been Assembly Audible. Thanks for listening.